I was watching these guys going through Hell Week, Class 224, and these guys ringing the bell, quitting, dropping their helmet down, rolling out. A lot of guys just leaving. And it made me reflect on my fears, my insecurities. And I saw real men, what I thought were real men, who were staying, who were overcoming adversity, who were overcoming all these different things that I had blamed so many fucking people in my life, my dad, my mom for not being there. When I was 14 years old, my mom was gonna get remarried to this great guy. He got murdered. And then I moved back to that small town in Brazil, and everybody was to blame. My learned disability, my skin color, you know, me being everything. And so I sat there for a while, and I was like, man, I've got it. No one's gonna fucking come to help me. No one's gonna fucking come to help me. It's fucking me against me, period. And so I had to man up, and I said, the first thing I gotta start doing is facing every fucking fear I have, no matter what the fuck it is, man. And these things would keep me up, and people who are hearing this, they will never really understand and grasp when you face these things and so many things, how they keep you up and haunt you at night. I had two options: to either be that 300-pound guy who sprayed for cockroaches and made $1,000 a month, and at 24 years old, knowing when I'm 50 fucking years old, I can reflect on this and think about what guy I never became, or I can totally just sack it up and fail and fail and fail until I succeed. So I started calling recruiters up. I said, I'm gonna go be a fucking Navy SEAL. So the weight and height limit to get in the military. And I was 6'1" and 297. And I had prior service, which was a big deal. So I called all these recruiters up, and all of them said, hey, how tall are you? Blah, 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 blah. They got into conversations to see if I was even qualified. And by the time I got to my weight, phone would hang up pretty much. Like, hey, you know what? Call somebody else, you know, try to get in the reserves. So I tried to get in the reserves. And I called this guy named Steven Salgio, a recruiter, up. And he said, hey, come on in. He saw me, put me through the weight standard, all this other stuff. And to get into the class I had to get into, I had to lose 106 pounds in less than 3 months. So I was like, fuck that, I can't do that. I grabbed my chocolate milkshake and went back to Ecolab. I'm going back to work, man. This is my life. So in this job, you know, you're looking for cockroaches, looking for rodents and stuff like that. And this next morning or this next night, I went to work. And I don't like cockroaches too much. I hit the mother load of cockroaches. And this restaurant got full of cockroaches and rodents and everything else. And I sat there and I said, this is my life. I said, this is my life. You are exactly who the this is it. And I said, this ain't gonna be it for me. So in that restaurant, I quit my job, left my canister in that restaurant, my spray canister, got back in my Ecolab truck, and I went home. And I started working out like somebody. I became the most obsessed person on the planet Earth. And I was basically, I had to invent a guy that didn't exist. I had to invent a guy that can take any pain, any suffering, any kind of judgment, be called nigger, be called whatever the fuck in the world, and be able to stand in the room and say, go fuck yourself. I had to build this callous mind, and I built it through suffering. I built it through downright and just crushing myself. If it was raining outside at 3 o'clock in the morning, if it was snowing, the first instinct is don't go out there and do shit. My instinct was, we gotta go out there. Anything that was horrible in my life that I would normally say no, that was inhumane to most people, I had to go do it. And I started callousing my mind at this point in my life. And I lost the weight. I lost the weight, and I went back to recruiter. I got into that class. And I went through 3 Navy SEAL Hell Weeks in 1 year. Only guy to ever be in 3 Hell Weeks in 1 year, to my knowledge. The first one I didn't make it through, the next two I did. And I didn't stop anymore from there. And I started realizing through this process that the fucking mind is what you created. And I started opening different doors that I didn't think were even there. They didn't think even existed. And the more doors I opened up, the more I start realizing that my potential is damn near endless. And it changed my whole mindset. So I went from David Goggins and I created Goggins. The one thing that made me who I am today is being vulnerable. It's breaking myself down to the absolute rock bottom and being able to tell people who I am. And that's how I fixed it. Literally, being able to look somebody in the eyes, you know what, man? I have a whole bunch of character problems. character flaws. I've lied about this. I've cheated here. I'm insecure here. This isn't the real me. I lied to you about that. I wanted your acceptance in life. All those things happen. But the thing about it is that we get judged so quickly by who we are. We don't know. We don't go to where it happened. You know, life created this person, me. Life created me to be this f***ed up person that I was back in the day. And I had to realize, man, that's okay, man. It's not my fault. Now I gotta go back and fix this shit, though. So a lot of this isn't your fault, why you do some things you do, why you feel the way you feel. But no one's coming back to save your ass. You have to go back to where this started, wherever that place is for everybody, and have the courage to go back there and start fixing what broke you. And that's why I was like, hey, I'm f***ed up. I'm gonna go back and fix this, though.
You gotta be honest with yourself.
100%.
About where you're at.
100%.
People don't like that.
Oh, it's ugly. And what's funny about it is that as you're trying to fix yourself and dig yourself out of this deep hole that life, society, and you helped also, those people who you saw down there in that hole who were there with you, who were your friends and people who you counted on, because you meet the people in the same situation that you're in life. Those people become your friends. And second, you try to get out of that situation and become better. Those people are in that grave, in that dungeon, just yanking at your heels, man, saying, yeah, get the fuck back. Oh, no, get, no. Come on back here, motherfucker. You ain't gonna make me feel like shit right by you getting out of this hole.
Who the fuck do you think you are?
So I get that all the time now. People would constantly remind me of who I used to be back in the day. And they always come out of the woodworks, man. Versus my,
that's
my God.
Still happening?
You know what? When you come from a small, small town, and you come from a place that a lot of people don't want to come out of it and get out of it, and all you want to do is become somebody. When you have small town mentality is a real mentality. You've got to be able to get out and let your mind see open-mindedness. Because a small town, what it does to you is it closes your mind. Completely closes your mind. Not everybody. This isn't everybody. A lot of people. You have to be able to go out there and create open-mindedness. You need space. You need space to see the world. Like a lot of racism, a lot of ignorance in the world, it comes from people not being out and seeing other things, seeing other people, seeing all kinds of shit. That's why we judge so harshly, because our minds are so closed to the reality of life, period.
Have you been back to Brazil?
I went back to Brazil a couple of times, and I have nothing wrong with Brazil. Because once again, another thing about growth is you can't hold on to hate. Mm-hmm. You can't hold on to hate. And see, once you take a different step, so I had to take a step out of my life, because, like, you know, like, once you're in that hell, that's all you see is what's in front of you. When I stepped out of it, I saw Brazil very differently. There were a lot of great people in Brazil. Some of the best people I knew were from Brazil. But when you're in hell, all you see is the little patch in front of you of the kids that are calling you nigger, of the people that spray painted nigger were going to kill you on your car. Mm-hmm. People put that shit in your locker. People put that shit on your notebook in Spanish class. That's all you see. You didn't see that. My God, a lot of people fucking like me here. So once you take a step back and see the reality of the true ignorance that you're dealing with from a small group of people, that's when you get growth. Because, you know, I went through a phase in the book I talked about, man, I was all about, you know, mm-hmm. I was all about black and only black when I was a junior in high school, because I was so beat down. Mm-hmm. I was the most ignorant I've ever been in my fucking life when I went there. I totally took everything, all the hurt, all the pain, and just put it in one fucking filter. I gotta find people who look just like me and act just like me to find acceptance. The brain that I was given as a child, it was easy to go home and think about how do I wanna be a freak today? How do I wanna show up to school today and be a freak? It didn't require me going home and opening a book up saying, it's gonna take me all year to learn this fucking page. So instead of learning that page, I learned how to become a character. And maybe that character that I created, that 300-pound insecure guy that used to fake it till I make it type of guy, you know, let me become your friend, let me lie to you until you like me type of guy. When you have any manhood, womanhood, a human being, a soul, a spirit, I must have this much pride, because that's exactly what opened the door for me. Because every day you were a character, every day you were a clown, every day you opened that Spanish book or that science book or English book, and you looked at it, it was like, it looked like a foreign language, and you're saying, where do I start? Where do I start? And obviously it was necessary. The more I talk about it, it was necessary, because what happened is I became haunted by the mere fact that this is my existence. And you got to live with that. And I lived with it for a lot of years. And so I sat back and said, okay, all right, I know what this takes. And when you sit back, as f***ed up as I was, and I had a laundry list, a table like this of what I have to do to become just a human being that can make ends meet, that can make $1,000 a month just to get there, was like, oh my God, dude, like how did, I'm 16, 17, I can't read, I can't write, and I, oh my God, I'm so behind the power curve, and my brain is about being depressed, and my dad beat, my mom's not home, and kids are calling me nigger at school, and I'm like, oh my God, man, what the f*** do I do? And it wasn't like someone came around and said, hey man, you can do this. This is all me. Some people know, where does this cold man come from? I'm not trying to be cold. It's the reality of my life. It's the reality of a lot of people's lives. And so, yeah, that had to happen for me to be haunted, to pull out, to extract the guy that I am today. That haunting is something that's still there today. Because no matter how much you improve, no matter how much you change who you are, it's not permanent. You don't just wake up and say, oh my God, man, you're David Goggins. You break records. You do this, you do that. People want to know, how are you able to just be so hard? Because I never turned the fucking thing off. Because once it turns off, I go right back to the David Goggins that is. And that's the guy that I'm constantly fighting every day. And it's a choice. And that choice makes you misunderstood. It makes you crazy. That's why I hate fucking social media. In 2013, people wanted me to write my book. I did it in 2018. It took 5 years. And the reason why I didn't do it, I sat at the table and Jennifer was there. This is before she started working for me. I started dating her, whatever. And all these people were there. And they're like, man, you got to go on social media. And I was like, fuck you, man. Like, I'm not, it's poison. It's poison because I knew what I did to get where I am. And I'm going to have these people, these normal, everyday people, fat, lazy, is exactly who I was, judging me. Because I know it, because I was once them. All my hard work, all my dedication, I'm going to have some normal dude get his little brownies, little ding-dong, ho-ho, Twinkie, sit there with his coffee, picking me apart. Oh, he must be unhappy. He's just, do you know how hard it is to put these shoes on every damn morning? And I'm going to have you pick me apart? So, yeah, there's so much that goes into this that I was like, this, I never want anything to do with it. In fact, by the time I figured it out, it was almost impossible for me to become a SEAL. I was so heavy that if I had been even a few pounds heavier, I would not have been able to lose the necessary weight in the allotted time. I had to take extreme measures, like eating 2 tiny meals while working out 6 to 8 hours a day for 10 weeks. But when I started to shed weight and shift my mindset, I realized I had never been as alone as I'd thought. I'd always told myself that nobody could possibly understand me or what I went through. But as I looked around, I noticed that there were a lot of motherfuckers out there with distracting injuries stuck neck deep in their past. These days, I hear from them all the time. Some suffered child abuse or lost a parent very young. Others grew up feeling ugly or stupid. They were bullied and beaten down or had no friends in school at all. It's not always the childhood minefield that f***s us up. There is no shortage of psychological and emotional snags in adult life. Every day, people suffer bankruptcy, foreclosure, divorce, and catastrophic injury. They get cheated or robbed by their so-called loved ones. They get sexually assaulted. They lose everything they own in a fire or flood. Their children die. It's so easy to get lost in the fog of life. Tragedy hunts us all. And any event that causes suffering will linger longer than it should if you let it. Because our sad stories enable us to grade ourselves on a forgiving curve. They give us latitude and justification to stay lazy, weak-minded motherfuckers. And the longer it takes for us to process that pain, the harder it is to reclaim our lives. Sometimes, weakness and laziness are rooted in hate and anger. And until we receive the confession, apology, or compensation we believe we are owed, we stay stuck in our shit as a form of self-righteous rebellion against our tormentors or even against life itself. Some of us become entitled. We think our pain entitles us to feel sorry for ourselves or that we are entitled to good fortune because we've survived hell. Of course, feeling entitled doesn't make it so. Understand, the clock is always ticking, and at some point, your golden hour will expire unless you take action. People who get lost in their past, the ones who bore their friends and family with the same tragic story over and over without showing a hint of progress, remind me of a skydiver who becomes too fixated on their tangled parachute. They know they have a backup ready to go, but burn so much time trying to fix the primary chute that they forget to track their altimeter. And by the time they cut the first chute away and pull the second ripcord, it's too late. Part of the problem is that they have become terrified of pulling that second cord, because if it's also fucked up, then they truly will be helpless. That is a mental trap set by fear. We cannot afford to remain afraid of cutting away dead weight to save ourselves. I was that skydiver for far too long. My father was violent. My mom was broken. I was bullied, laughed at, and misunderstood. Check, check, and checkmate. And yet, I was breathing free, and I was not bleeding. Physically, I was alive and well, and perfectly capable of cutting all of that bullshit away. I'd wasted way too much of my life telling myself the same sad story. I needed to move forward. It was time to write something new. If an act of God or nature tore your life apart, the good news is that you really have nobody to blame. Yet the randomness of it all can feel so personal, as if you've been marked for doom by the fates. If you feel wronged by somebody else, you may be waiting on a confession or an apology in order to move forward. But I'm sorry to say, the apology, that tearful confession you've been dreaming of, will never come. The good news is you don't need anybody else to free you from your trauma. You can do it on your own. My father never apologized to me. Nobody ever said sorry for anything I went through. I had to come to the conclusion that while I didn't deserve any of it, I was my main problem and primary obstacle. I'd given Trunnis Goggins all of my power. I had to take it back. I had to defuse my demon. I had to shrink him down to the lowly, pathetic figure he was by humanizing him. Just as there was no other way to come out of the gauntlet that was my childhood except fucked up, I had to see that he was a mortally fucked up piece of shit because of what he went through. Once I understood that, it was up to me to either do the hard work to break that cycle or stay cursed. Like medics on the scene of a car accident, we all must act with a sense of urgency and tune into that ticking clock in the back of our minds. Because there is a drop-dead time on everything we do in life. All our dreams and visions come with expiration dates etched in invisible ink. Windows of opportunity can and do close, so it is imperative that we do not waste time on bullshit. None of us have any clue what's coming for us or when our time might run out, which is why I do my best to ignore anything that is counterproductive. I'm not suggesting we act like robots, but we need to understand that forward motion gives our lives momentum. We need to remember that sometimes chaos will descend and a clear highway can be wiped out by a flash flood in the blink of an eye. When that happens, a lot of motherfuckers look for a cozy place to hunker down and hide out until the storm passes. I'm only human, they say. When holy hell rains down upon them and they feel drained and powerless, they cannot conceive of a way to keep going. I understand that impulse, But if I had succumbed to the I'm only human mentality, I never would have dug myself out of the deep hole I was in at 24 years old. Because the second you utter those words, the white towel is fluttering in the air and your mind stops looking for more fuel. I didn't know for sure if I'd ever find my way out of the darkness. I just knew that I could not throw in the towel, and neither can you, because there is no towel in our corner. There is only water and a cut man. And if those are your only options, you have no choice but to keep fighting until you overcome every last thing that once held you the f*** back. You've been preoccupied by bullshit for way too long. It's time to switch your focus to the things that will slingshot you forward.